Seat. Maybe you've been talking to the public a little bit longer because roughly a year ago we thought that Congressman Bridenstine was going to be all of a sudden confirmed as the head of NASA, and you as a group of candidates got prepared to be able to run for that seat. I hope he still gets the seat, but either way, we've got a primary coming up in June. Thanks for coming in, sir.
Well, you know, Charlie, I announced last April in front of the Tim Harris Victim Witness Center at the Tulsa County DA's office in the courthouse, and everyone was anticipating that there would be a much earlier nomination and vote of the Senate on Congressman Bridenstine. And so we were all saying, okay, if there is a special election, we can't wait to get out, right?
Yeah.
So now it looks like it'll be a full year. And of course, we, you know, the 11th, 12th, and 13th of April will be the filing date.
Right.
So all of a sudden, we're looking at having been done this for a year. But it's been a great year, as you and I were talking before I came in. All the wonderful people of the 1st District that I've been able to meet and listen to and want to be able to carry their voice to Washington has really been an exciting year.
It has been. And I still believe, unofficially, just news judgment, that he will get confirmed, and that the governor will say, okay, we'll put an emergency clause on the November election so that whoever gets that seat will take office a little bit more immediately than they would normally. At least that's my opinion.
You know, I'm hoping so. I've listened to Congressman Bridenstine numerous times about the science committee that he came off of, and of course he learned so much about satellites in the air, and we know that he's a flyer, right?
Yeah.
First with the Navy and now with the Air National Guard. You know, some of the criticism is, oh, we have to have a science person and the head of NASA. I'm not so sure that the head of an organization has to be a science person just because it's NASA. The problem he's got is Senator Rubio, right,
out
of Florida.
I think you're right, yeah.
And, you know, he came out in behalf of Senator Cruz in the presidential primary.
Which
and
didn't
I think
help
that's
him
not sitting
any.
Well with Senator Rubio.
Although, right? I'll take 20-plus years of military experience, active and guard time, and say to be the head of an agency, to head a program, I think you need to be a program manager and a people manager. The content of what is going on is important, but if you've got good people working with you, then trust your people and move on. So,
well, Charlie, yeah. I'm with you, and I think it would be good for Oklahoma to have Congressman Bridenstine, the head of NASA. I think he'll do a great job. He's in my prayers. You know, Senator McCain, because of his health, isn't voting. So if he loses Rubio, I'm not sure, right? Is it going to be a 50-50, or is it going to be, if it goes to 49, I think he's in trouble.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, so we'll see how that'll develop. Either way, he has chosen not to run, so we're
right.
Talking with those.
No, he gave me his word when he and I met and had coffee, and I told him about, you know, what's in my heart as a public servant, and he said, no, Tim, there's no doubt I am not running. I took a pledge, and I'm standing by that, and that really warmed my heart, because the many years I was in the DA's office, I had hundreds of young lawyers come through the office, and I said, if I can just teach you one thing that you'll care on, and that is your word needs to be your bond.
Yeah.
Right? If you can't give a man your word and let him take it to the bank, then you're going to have a real problem, especially practicing law, because most assistants last maybe two and a half years in the DA's office, and they move on to private practice because they can't survive making $40,000 a year as a young assistant, right?
Or,
so they go into private practice.
Or they move on to another DA's office. Steve Kunstweiler was an ADA here before moving to Tulsa. So
You bet. Steve, you know, he was the chief of my felony division, and when I left the DA's office, it was a dream come true for him. The only two times I ever endorsed, because I didn't want to politicize the DA's office, was I endorsed Steve Kunstweiler for DA, and then I endorsed Doug Drummond to be a district judge, who was my first assistant, and I thought maybe he wanted to be the DA, but he didn't. He wanted to get on the bench, and so they've both been very successful with that.
Well, let's talk Congress.
Yeah.
First of all, it was the other body of Congress last night with their vote on the omnibus spending bill, 2,200 and some pages, according to Senator Lankford. That's not the way the budget process is supposed to work. Although it's only worked correctly four times since 1974, but as a potential member of the House, you need to be prepared to work on a budget.
You know, the system is broken when you get over a 2,000-page bill the night before the vote, right? I mean, how can you dissect actually what's in there? And I mean, the worst thing you could do is what Nancy Pelosi said is, well, let's pass it and then we'll see what's in it. No. That is, when I heard that, I was absolutely astounded that she would say something like that. That is not how we serve the people. And so something has to change to where we have enough time on the front end to dissect these bills so that we can figure out what our arguments are in behalf of the constituents that we represent. And, you know, I saw a tweet from Paul Rand said, hey, you know, I saw the stack of the 2,000 pages. And he says, how am I supposed to read this? Yeah. Right. And so, you know, that's just not right. And I mean, part of the reason I'm running is, you know, Congress is broken and Congress doesn't like to, you know, the hot potato issues. If they don't do what they were sent there to do and formulate good policy and law, what happens is they kick the can down the road and then we're ruled by presidential mandate. And I think that's a very, very bad model, because under executive mandate or executive order, you're going to have a changing of the guard either every 4 years or every 8 years, and then we see what happens. I mean, President Trump is overriding all the executive mandates of President Obama. And whether he serves one term or two terms, if a Democrat were to come in, they're going to reverse everything that Trump does. For long-range planning for a country, it's no way to do business. So as a congressman, I will be an advocate for the people, but I also will be an advocate that Congress steps up to the plate, doesn't kick the can down the road, doesn't take the hot potato out of their lap and pass it to somebody else. That's what they were sent there to do, and that's what I would be advocating for.
Congressman Bridenstine and I will say both of our current senators have blamed to pass Congresses for also saying, okay, here's the enabling EPA or other agency rules and law, but then organization, EPA, NASA, whoever, you fill in the blanks. And I said, no, this is Congress is supposed to set that policy.
Well, you know, when I taught constitutional law at ORU and I went back to teach the undergrads, in my studies of getting prepared to teach my students, it doesn't make me an expert on the Constitution, but I learned an awful lot.
But you have a copy in front of you.
Always. I carry it with me everywhere. And you know why? Because people say, well, it's in the Constitution. And I'm kind of like, well, if I'm not sure it's in there, I hand it to them and say, hey, can you show me where it is? Because as a constitutionalist, this is the governance document that we have to live by. It's just so depth of wisdom that the pendulum has swung so far away from following the Constitution that as a constitutionalist, to help swing that pendulum back, that's why I will be a constitutionalist.
But I interrupted you. So
no, go ahead. You know, actually, I wanted to talk about the Constitution because you said, what's the one thing you wanted to talk about? And you know, the most precious resource we have is our kids, right? It's not our military power. It's not our economic power. It's not oil and gas. It's our children. And, you know, after the Parkland massacre of those 17 kids, you know, schools are soft targets. And Charlie, as the district attorney, I looked at people who have evil intent and people who are deranged, and it's kind of like gun control, in my opinion. Any instrumentality that you outlaw won't give you the desired result that you think it will. All it really does is hamstring law-abiding citizens and their rights, because those who are evil and those who are demented, if you take that instrumentality away from them, my experience has shown me they will choose another instrumentality to move forward with their ideas, okay? So what we've just done is we've taken lawful gun rights away from lawful gun owners who are going to obey the law, because we have this section and percentage of people that, number one, never obey the law. They have evil intent in their minds, so passing a gun rights law is not going to accomplish what we need to accomplish. So what is the solution? First and foremost, we made courthouses safe, we made airports safe, we need to make our schools safe. They are soft targets, mm-hmm. right? We just can't have a door that you can walk in and just see the kids in their classrooms. And it's not that expensive and it's not that difficult to put metal detectors in to make sure that kids aren't bringing things or instrumentalities into school with them. But once the first bell rings, my opinion is lock down doors with magnetic locks so you can get out in case of a fire, but you can't get in. And then once the school day starts, you've got one point of ingress and egress so that you know who's coming in to your facility. and then our kids will be a whole lot safer. I do support having an armed security guard or CLEAT certified teachers on site who have weapons and have access to weapons, because if I have an evil intent, if I know that there's somebody there with a firearm to combat me, I'm probably going to choose a different target. And so in doing so, I think we've moved the ball in a much more coherent fashion while supporting constitutional rights while keeping our kids safe.
And I think doing a better job with our intelligence gathering as far as what's going on in a school, and there is the best intelligence source already out there. In general, the students already know what's going on. You want to spread the word around what's going on in a school, tell a student.
You know what broke my heart, Charlie, and you're absolutely right. They know what's going on inside their school, is after the Parkland tragedy, we had 17 copycat threats at schools here in Green Country surrounding the Tulsa area. That sent a message to me that the breakdown of the family and the fact that these kids don't feel like they have anyone that has instilled in them that somebody cares about you, somebody loves you, somebody has worth for you, you have a plan and a purpose in your life. And so when 17 copycats, it's like they're looking for their Andy Warhol 15 minutes in the sun. One thing we have to do is the media has to step up and not give these shooters all the airtime that they give to these people, so that, yeah, we can report it without kind of glorifying the person who created the tragedy. And that in and of itself, I think, would settle well to keep people from saying, hey, look it, you know, my name would be across the airways for the next 2 weeks, and good, bad, or otherwise, people are going to know who I am. Well, you know, let's let these kids know that we know who they are and we care about them. You know, Charlie, we've abdicating our parenting rights to the schools for way too long, and schools are now doing more crowd control than they're doing, you know, STEM teaching, so that we can compete in a global market. And when we've raised our kids on video games like Black Ops and Grand Theft Auto, and we wonder why these kids can go into schools and kill all these things, they don't really have any appreciation for life, because they've been raised on these video games that all it does is kill, 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 destroy, 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 and we wonder why we're reaping what we've sown. You know, people ask me, what do you think the solution is? I think it starts in our homes, one home at a time. I may not be able to solve all the world's problems, but I do have a responsibility as a dad to treat my wife in such a way that I set a standard for my daughter for the kind of husband she's going to look for, that I set the standard for my son that he knows what it means to have courage and to stand up for values and that he has worth. Those are the things that happen in the home, and if it happens in my home, and then the next home, before you know it, a neighborhood changes, and then a community changes, and then a state changes, and then a country changes, and before you know it, you actually have a change in the culture that will progress life forward and create posterity that when we pass this America on to our grandkids and those that come behind us, we will actually be able to be proud of the America that we pass on to them.
And certainly the job is not the one that the teachers want. They don't want to necessarily be that parentis in loci. So,
well, you yeah. hear them talk about, I can't even discipline my student, and everybody shies away from disciplining Johnny because he's absolutely out of control in the classroom. Well, if Johnny's out of control, the teacher really can't concentrate on the 24 or 25 other students that he or she has in there that maybe really wants to learn, because Johnny's the disruption.
Exactly. We're talking with candidate for the 1st Congressional District seat, Tim Harris, and we will continue on K1 coming up in just a moment.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
AM 1400 K1, spending some time this morning talking with candidate for Congress Tim Harris. And, of course, I will remind the voters, the primary coming up in June. You have until the end of the month to be registered to vote in the primary. So if you need to change address or party affiliation, whatever it is, get that done within the next week.
You know, Shirley, that's so important that you know, I hope people vote for me for Congress, but even if they don't, I want them to go exercise their constitutional rights as a free Oklahoman and a free American and let your voice get heard. The apathy that is out there is almost overwhelming, and so I'm encouraging people, please get involved. I mean, you can stand on the sidelines and wring your hands and complain, but if you don't research who the candidates are and then go exercise your right to vote, then it's kind of like, all right, your complaints kind of fall on deaf ears because you had a chance to do something about it and you didn't.
Yeah. We were talking school security, and I wanted just to kind of draw a little bit fine-tune on that one. How much of what needs to be done is legitimately a federal issue, and how much of it is a state or local school board type issue?
You know, Charlie, I'm really a 10th Amendment supporter because I said earlier, as I taught the Constitution, you know, the Constitution is a document of enumerated powers.
Right. This is what you can do.
Right. This federal government, this is what you can do. If it's not listed here, then it's reserved to the states under the 10th Amendment. Okay. I really believe school safety is a states' rights issue. Right. We have to determine it locally. Another thing about education, I don't want the federal government telling us how we're going to educate our children here in Oklahoma, what the curriculum is supposed to be. I think that's way far afield of what the federal government ought to be doing in the Department of Education. But by the same token, I was listening to the CFO from Jenks Schools, and he was saying if they didn't get the $3 million from the federal government for the Title I students and those that are really having disabilities on IEP program, they couldn't service these students. So I think there's a balancing act between what the federal government needs to be doing and what they shouldn't be doing. But getting back to your ultimate question, I believe school safety is a states' rights issue, and we should figure it out here in Oklahoma for ourselves, because it's our kids in these schools that we need to keep safe. Let's come up with a solution, and I believe the Oklahomans, the good Oklahomans who love their kids and want to create a safe environment for a place that they drop their kids off for 6 hours a day, is a place that can teach them and they can compete in a global economy.
I think you're right. Tim, I know that this is not the only opportunity that you'll have to go before the voters. There's a forum coming up next month for congressional district candidates. The
April 19th. Yes.
I'll be one of the two people asking questions that night, and I will invite people to that. But right now, let's send people to your website so they can find
out. Sure, you bet. VoteTimHarris.com. It's very simple. It's what I need people to do. So VoteTimHarris.com. My cell phone, if you want to talk to me, is 918-850-0026. And you can go to my Facebook page, Tim Harris for Congress. And I answer all questions within 48 hours. And so I want to make myself accessible to the people so that when they go to the polls on the 26th, they can have a good feeling for who I am as a public servant and why I want to be their voice in Washington.
And we've talked about at least some of the important issues, your personal background, your education, training, qualifications for the job, and at least some of your positions. They can find out more on the website.
Tim, they can.
Thank you very much. We're talking with candidate for the 1st Congressional District seat, Tim Harris, on a Community Connection. News from the Oklahoma News Network on the way next.
A few clouds around this morning, but then we'll have increasing clouds and mostly cloudy skies this afternoon.